Good evening to everybody tonight. Some important studies that have been going on, again, as I mentioned the one before. They've done studies to show us now that the earth is 70% uncarbonated water. Therefore, the conclusion is the earth is flat. Donna's been telling me she wants to do something to get a charge out of life. I said, well, what more is there to do? We've done a lot, and we've been through a lot and served the Lord, and I had no explanation for it until one day I walked in the house and she was chewing on an extension cord that was plugged into the wall. And I thought, well, what in the world is she doing? So immediately I had to take action. I had to ground her. And she's doing better currently right now and acting herself, conducting herself properly. So I'm thankful for that you know, remedied that problem with her. Luke chapter 14 tonight. I didn't get that out of that joke book. I got to get some out of there, though. Luke chapter 14 tonight, and we'll stand in a few moments to read verse 15 down through verse number 24. But of course, this chapter is dealing, we're going to take a look at the feast and the bathing many to come to this feast that nobody wants to come to. And of course, the chapter starts out with Jesus going into this house of a chief Pharisee to eat. And of course, there was a man there. He was going to do a miracle there. This man had the dropsy. And that doesn't mean he dropped things all the time. He had a swelling, an edema problem there. He would swell, and imagine how that would be for him. His body would swell up. And of course, he asked the question to them that were there, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And there was always that big controversy over that whenever Jesus did something. They just liked to try to pick him apart every time he did something. And of course, and he asked the question, which of you would have an ass fall into the pit on the Sabbath day? Wouldn't you try to rescue it? And sure they would. I mean, it'd be just like us. If one of our kids fell into something on the Sabbath day, if we was observing the Sabbath day, we would save them, wouldn't we? We wouldn't just let them go. And of course, they went on. He started talking to the man, to them, that when they are coming to a feast, don't take the upper seat. Everybody likes the upper seat in places. I know that for a fact because I've been to many preachers' conferences. And many of them like to get at the front, and they want to be seen and shown. And I'm not saying this to be mean, but they like to get into these meetings, and I've sat there and listened to them. And you know, we had 358, you know, people saved last year and 110 baptized. And I'd always think, well, where's the other 240-some then? You know. But, you know, and then they don't tell you the 148 they had saved were probably ones that came down the aisle for the second or third time, you know, because they'd preach those messages to keep them fearful if they're saved or not. But this parable goes out. Don't sit in the front row like James. But take a back seat, and then if they want to bring you up to the front, do it that way instead of sitting in the front row and then having to be asked to go to the back. That would be very embarrassing, wouldn't it? Well, Jesus brings that across to him. Just some of those little practical things that he teaches to help you and I. That deals with their pride. And then, of course, he goes on and talks to the man in verse 12 that bade him to come to supper. And he told him when he makes a supper, he says, don't call your friends. Don't call your neighbors that you know. Don't call people that are going to be able to recompense you back. He says, he goes on, tell them to call those that are poor and those that are maimed and those that can't do anything, the blind. And then you'll be blessed because you'll be helping those that can't help themselves. How much of a blessing is there to do something for somebody expecting something in return? The blessing is what you receive in return. Now, if you want a blessing from God, do something for somebody that can't do nothing in return, then God will bless you. And I'd rather have the blessings from God any day than just to be recompensed back from somebody because I did something for them. That doesn't mean you shouldn't help brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends and all that, but to keep it in context, what's going on here, remember those that can't help themselves too. Take care of them. Well, tonight then we're going to read here in verse number 15. So if you'd like to stand with me, we'll read verse 15 down through verse number 24. He's going to get into another parable here when one of them that sat at meat in verse 15 says this question to him. He says, when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, he's right. They will be blessed. What a blessing it'll be when we get to heaven one day. Amen. Then Jesus said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I like this one. I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. We know how that is, don't we? I always tell Josiah, it's the old ball and chain. I try to warn him, but, you know, I kid him around like that. It says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for this night to be in your house. For each and everyone that's able to be here, we thank you for them, their faithfulness. We pray, Lord, tonight that you'll bless your word as it goes forth. Lord, a message that we that are here don't need to hear, but Lord, there's many out here in this world, in the city itself, that need to hear a message like this, that they would get their hearts turned around and to be saved if they're not saved. And many are Christians that are out there that just need to be in church. Lord, just pray that you'll just encourage our hearts from this message just to stay faithful to you, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I got 2 titles for this message. One of them is 2 morons and a henpecked husband. You say, now where do you get that from? Well, of course, you go back there to verse 18. You think of how funny that is that somebody says, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. That'd be like saying, I wish I knew somebody I could sell a bridge to down in Florida. You know, yeah, I'll buy it without even looking at it. You'd have to be kind of silly to buy something without looking at it. Here's another one that says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and prove them. I need to go try them out. I need to go and see if they're fit. Yeah, I've already paid for them, but I want to go test them. Now, I don't know about you, but I see all these car commercials that you can buy cars at, you know, like Carvana, and you can just pick your car out online and they'll deliver it to your house, and you got all the transactions set up before it even gets delivered. And I couldn't imagine buying a car that I couldn't take out and take it a drive first and check it over and see what's going on with it. But here's somebody that did that. I guess it ain't political terms are right today, but you'd call these 2 guys a couple morons that would do something like that. And I looked up moron, it's in the dictionary. And it just means stupid is what it means when you look it up. And then, of course, we don't have to elaborate on the henpecked husband. I just got married, and I can't come. I'm not allowed to come. And, of course, but that's just the fun title. The actual title of the message is The Empty Pew. And we're going to take a look tonight about the empty pew. And there's 3 things that an empty pew in a church shows you and I. Tonight in our church, and I'm thankful to be a part of this church. I'm thankful the Lord brought us here. When our little church in Bowling Green ended up going and dismantling and stuff, I just thought, you know, Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, you know, what is there to do? Lord, you know, felt washed up, felt like a failure because of what took place. but then the Lord brought us here. And I'm thankful Pastor Zach lets me still get a chance to preach once in a while, and I'm thankful for that. But you know, you stop and you think, the empty pews even in this church. What does it signify? What does it show you and I? Now this, of course, message is not for us because we're all here. But it's going to show you, what does this mean in the hearts of others that are out there in the world? And we're going to take a look at this tonight, and it's going to, first of all, show us, just like this parable that Jesus gives to go out and to get people to come to this supper, people don't want to go. You and I go out and try to get people to come to church so they can hear the gospel message, so they can be saved and go to heaven. Boy, what a wonderful exchange they can receive just coming to church and hearing the gospel and then trusting Christ to be their Savior. Then there's many, I've always say this too, there's many of people out there that are saved that aren't in church. Can you imagine if you got everybody that is saved, you'd fill all these pews up no problem. You'd probably have to be a building on. Not to mention filling all the other pews up in the Baptist churches in town. But you know, people get to where they get to where they don't want nothing to do with the Lord. The first thing an empty pew is going to show you and I is it shows that people are not searching in the right place for peace, joy, and happiness. You know, you and I can come to church and sure, it's hot out. You walk outside and it just knocks you backwards. The heat does. Sucks your every last ounce of breath out of your lung. But you know, it'd be easy to stay home, wouldn't it? And sit in the air conditioner and watch TV. But you know what? It's important to be here. But I'll tell you what, that same Christian that will say it's too hot to go to church, if there was a ball game going on, they'd be there tonight, even though it's 102 degrees out and you know, the heat index is up over 100. But you know, people just aren't looking from the right place for happiness. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Those that are lost and without Christ, they're not looking for happiness in the Lord. They're looking in those things that we saw in this parable that Jesus gave. They're looking to their possessions. The man that brought his the ground there, their possessions that he can have. I'm happy with what I own. You know, it's the old saying, people buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people that they don't even like. And that's the way it goes. And they're in hock until they die for it. The old bumper sticker that says, he that dies with the most toys wins. Is that really going to happen? Not at all. Naked we came into this world, and naked we're going to leave. Their toys will not go with, and they just bought toys for someone else to enjoy when they're gone. They look to their possessions. They look to their priorities. You know, I bought these oxen. I got to go try them. Well, it's Sunday. It's my only day off. And, you know, I can't go to church. I don't care about going to church. I don't care about that stuff. I got to mow my yard today. You know, or we're going up to the lake to go swimming, me and the family, and we don't have time for that. Or that's the only day I got to go visit Grandma. And to see how she is. They don't seek after God. And unfortunately, it's gotten into the lives of many of God's children that just don't go to church. They filled that time up with things other than being faithful to God and doing what the Lord wants them to do, being faithful to what the Bible teaches them to do. And then there's those that let people get in their way. They put people as their priority. They want to do things for others. They go and run with people and do things with others. All these different things. There's all these things in life that people look to for their joy, their happiness, their possessions, their people, their being famous. They look to the bars, the nightclubs. They look to the drugs and alcohol, the sex, all these things for peace and enjoyment and fulfillment in their lives. But none of these things are going to help them out. Those that are lost and without Christ, none of these things will fulfill that what's missing down in their heart. Mark 8:36 says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? How many people tonight are burning in hell because they chose to look for their own fulfillment and had nothing to do with Christ? Oh, they were witnessed to. The gospel had been shared with them, They were like, I don't need that. I don't have time for that. I want to do my own thing. I enjoy what I'm doing. They had no willingness to want to repent of their sin and turn to Christ and accept him as their Savior. And because of that, they've lost their own soul. They've died and gone to hell. There is no peace. There is no peace, joy, or happiness outside of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, in the scriptures, we know there's two kinds of peace. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That happens at the moment of salvation. We're no longer at odds with God. We're no longer the enemy God. We become the child of God. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Before we're saved, we're a child of the devil. We're headed to hell and we're condemned in our sins. But once we trust Christ as our Savior, all things become new. We're a child of God. Our sins are forgiven and we're heaven bound. As the old truckers used to say, with the hammer down, we're on our way to heaven. And you know, and that's that peace with God. That's that salvation. But then there's the peace of God. Those that are lost will never experience the peace of God. Those that are saved, that have turned their back on the Lord and are not being faithful to the Lord and they're not doing the things that the Lord says to do in his word, they will never experience that peace of God until they get their heart right. Philippians 4:7 tells us, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's that peace, that inner peace, that when things aren't going right, there's still that little peace that you know God's in control. And that's a blessing when God gives us that peace, that no matter what happens, he's going to work things out. He'll take care of things. So tonight, if you have to look for peace, joy, and happiness, look to the right place. You and I, we're looking to the right place. We're here. But we can tell this to those that we know that are maybe friends that are saved, they're not in church, tell them, hey, look to the right place. You need to get your life turned around and back to the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If we want that joy and happiness and peace, it comes through that joy that's in the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him. Psalm 144 verse 15 says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Many today out there searching, not finding happiness where they need to find it. They're not looking in the right place. If they would just come to Christ, his word promises us that as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Tonight we believed, haven't we? Have you believed? Amen? We believed on him. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. So tonight we know we're going to heaven. We can have that peace of God. We've got that joy and happiness because we know we're serving him. We're obeying the word of God. As we saw in Sunday school this morning, a side verse there with the end of Ecclesiastes with Solomon summing up the whole thing about what life's all about and why we're here is to serve God and obey his commandments. There's where you truly find that joy, peace, and happiness in that obedience to him. The second thing, with the church pews not being full, not only does it show that people are not searching in the right place for that peace, joy, and happiness, it shows that God's children are not seeking the lost. Now we live, of course, I know we live, it's hard to get people to go to church. I know that. We all know that. You invite people to come to church. You know, I've had as far as people tell me, yeah, I'll come, and then they don't show up. You know, we've all been there. You know, I mean, it's like we all know the old, I sound like I'm an old timer. Here I'm, you know, I'm only in my 40s. I shouldn't be lying from the pulpit. But you know, it's like that old saying that you can lead that horse to water, but what's it not going to do? You can't make it drink. It's our responsibility to share the gospel, not to save them. We don't save them. If you saved anybody, they're in trouble. You know, and I've heard people use terminology that, oh, the preacher saved me. No, the preacher didn't save you. He showed you how to be saved, and you trusted Christ. But it shows Christians are not seeking the lost. God tells us, we know those passages in Mark 16:15. We don't even need to quote it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. John 4:35 tells us, Jesus here speaking says, there's yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. There's still souls that need to be saved. And there's souls that you and I can come in contact with that others won't. Our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, we have a job to do. Look back in Ezekiel chapter 3. Let me show you something back here in Ezekiel chapter 3. In verse number 17, down through verse number 19. And of course, Ezekiel's being likened to a watchman back here. And back here it tells us this in verse 17. Give everybody a second to find your place there. He says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Well, he's made us all a watchman unto our communities. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not away from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. There's two choices there. We can either share the gospel like we're supposed to and warn the wicked, give those gospel tracts out, hand them out when we have those opportunities, be a witness to those that we can be a witness to. And then when they die, if they've rejected Christ, that's on their hands. You know, if they take the gospel and reject it or tell you they don't want nothing to do with it or they yell at you or they just don't even, you know, want to answer the door, that's their problem. That's on their hands. They made their decision. But if we don't do our part in warning the wicked and they die when it's someone that we've had opportunity to witness to, someone that the Lord maybe is pricking your heart about that, hey, go tell this person, and we don't do it. If they die and go to hell, we're going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of those things that we've done in our body according to 2 Corinthians, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I don't know about you, but it'd be pretty evil not to warn somebody when the Lord's pricking our heart to tell them. We'll have to give an account of why we didn't go warn them. So if that's the case, if we're supposed to be watchmen and telling others and warning others, why aren't we? Why aren't there the people? Why are there Christians that don't go forth? I'm not saying we. I know a lot of us in here, we go and we try to be a witness for the Lord, and that's great. But what about those that don't go? What about those watchmen that don't go? Where are they at? What's going on? Look in Isaiah chapter 56. I'm glad you asked. The answer's right here in the scriptures, very plain and very simple. Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 10, down through verse number 12, talks about the watchmen, where they're at, what's going on, why aren't they out warning people? The scriptures say this, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Where are the children of God at? Where are they that are supposed to be watchmen at that they're not out trying to bring others to Christ? They've been saved and they've never handed out a gospel tract. The Lord's pricked their heart to be a witness to somebody, maybe a co-worker or someone, and they don't do it. Why? What's going on? Well, first of all, it says they're blind there. We know what Proverbs 29 tells us, where there's no vision, what happens? People perish. Can a Christian become blind? Sure. When we don't see the needs of others. First Peter tells us that a Christian can be blinded when we forget where God has brought us from. It's where we're at today. It says they become ignorant. Many a people have become so smart in everything. You know, they can tell you everything you need to know. They're so smart in all these things, but when it comes to getting the gospel across, saved for years, but couldn't show somebody how to be saved if they had to. They wouldn't know how. They wouldn't know how to go to the book of Romans and show them Romans chapter 3 where they're all of sin, and Romans 5 where, you know, God commended his love toward us, and the wages of sin in chapter 6, and then how to be saved in chapter 10 by calling upon the Lord, believing with all thine heart. They're ignorant. They became, they're Bible ignorant. They don't learn. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to do what? Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They become quiet. It says they cannot bark. They're quiet. They're afraid to witness, afraid to get made fun of. You know, nobody wants to get made fun of. I mean, you know, sometimes you can laugh at yourself for doing something stupid, but you know, when somebody makes fun of you when you're not trying to be funny, that's not very fun, is it? You know, I mean, when I don't know why sometimes I just have to, when you watch videos of somebody like walking on the ice and they fall down, I mean, it's not funny for them, but you know, it's just funny to watch when you see them hop back up and stuff, you know, and so, but you know, people don't like to be made fun of. That's why they become quiet. They don't want to say nothing. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't do it right? What if they reject me? What if they, you know, say something to somebody else that, look at him, he tried to be, you know, more spiritual than he, you know, and all. You know, nobody wants to be made fun of. It says they cannot bark. They're sleeping, lazy, not motivated for the things of God, not concerned for those that are lost. All they worry about is themselves and what's in the walls of their own house that they're taking care of. And they don't worry about anything else. They're selfish. They can never have enough. It says they're greedy dogs, never having enough. I tell you, you have a bunch of dogs and you throw one piece of meat in there, you're going to see who's the greedy dog. They're going to fight to get what they want. And God's children get that way many a times. They fight, bicker, argue to get what they want. And in the meantime, while all of that's going on, people are dying and going to hell. They lose their testimony. And then they become self-controlled. Come ye, say they, and I will fetch wine. We will fill ourselves with strong drink. They're going to try to get themselves where they can forget the cares of life. And they said, tomorrow shall be the same as today, and much more abundant. They become so self-controlled, they plan God right out of their lives. These are the watchmen. These are the children of God that have no concern over the souls of others dying and go to hell. So what do we need to do? Just obey and go. Be the witness you need to be. I've always said, just have some gospel tracts in your pocket. Carry some in your wallet. You know, when the Lord pricks your heart to lay a tract on somebody, give it to them. Put it at the table at the restaurant when you go out to eat. You know, just get the gospel out. Every little seed out in the community helps, doesn't it? But the seeds, if they're left in the barn, aren't going to do anything. We need to sow the seed and get it out there. Everyone has different ways, different means, but just get the gospel out is what's important. So we need to just obey and go. Luke 10:2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 6:8. We see here tonight about the watchman, about going forth. Isaiah said this when the Lord mentioned, who shall we send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said this, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Perfect example of the Trinity back there in Isaiah. And Isaiah makes the statement that each and every one of us need to make. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Use me. Use me to see the gospel go forth. Tonight, are you willing as a child of God to just be a witness? Maybe you're already doing that. Maybe tonight you haven't. Are you willing to be a witness? Share the gospel with your family, friends, neighbors? You know, I tell you, you share the gospel with them. I would like to say it gets easier every time you hand one out, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes that same fear will come upon you every time you're going to hand a tract out to a coworker. Try to witness to them. And try to go to a different one. The same fears will pop. Our fears that get within us sometimes motivate us to do nothing. But we need to realize that fear is just an emotion. And God's greater than all things. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He'll give the help and strength that's needed through his Spirit. And then the third thing tonight that the empty pew shows in the church, it shows that God's children are not committed to the Lord. God's children are not committed. We all know people. We've already hit on this a little bit. Now we'll bring it home a little better. We all know people tonight. Each and every one of us, I'm sure, knows someone that's saved, that used to be faithful to the Lord, but today they're not. They're not in church. They've gotten backslidden. They've gotten away from the Lord. They're not in the house of God anymore. They don't do things for the Lord anymore. And, you know, God expects from his children to be obedient. Matthew 22, verse 37, still there in the Bible, that word to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. They need to get their hearts turned around. Get back into serving the Lord. Tonight I say that to say this. If you know someone that used to be in church, but they're not anymore, try to encourage them. Hey, why don't you come and visit church with me on Sunday? Well, we all know how to do that. You know, come give us a visit and check it out. Or come on a Sunday night. You know, it's lax back, and you can come on a Sunday night and just give a visit. And just, you know, try to see if we can't get those that we know that need to be back in church to get back in church and get their hearts turned back around and serve the Lord. Become a part of this army that will go forth, this mighty army to go forth to seek souls for Christ, that they too can come and trust Christ as their Savior then. We're to love God, we're to obey his word, and we're to be in his house. As Hebrews 10:25 tells us, as we saw last Sunday, we heard last Sunday, it never leaves, it's always in the Bible. Try to write it out or block it out or whatever, but it's still there. God wants us to be in his house. We need to go to church. Why? To be obedient to God. Out of just obedience to him. If we're going to be the kind of examples we need to be as dads and moms, as a good neighbor, as a good co-worker, we need to be obedient to God and do the things that he tells us to do. Don't get caught up in the things they do. We go to church to worship God. Tell you, we can come in here and lay aside the cares of the world, can't we? You can come in here and just sit down and sing the hymns and sit back and listen to the message and ask the Lord before you even come in to teach you something from the Word of God that day and just to come in and just, who cares if the yard needs mowed? It'll be there tomorrow. You know, I mean, coming to church is important and we can be here. We come to God's house, we go to church so we can hear the word of God, so we can grow spiritually. We're not going to grow spiritually. We're going to be ignorant, like we saw there about those ignorant watchmen. We're going to be ignorant if we don't come and hear the word of God teached and taught to help us to then grow in our spiritual walk with him. These are all basic things, aren't they? But you know, all those, many of those Christian brothers and sisters that are not in church anymore, they forgot these things. It's up to us to encourage them. While we go out and seek the lost, try to bring them in too, those that have already been saved, to get them back in church. And then we go to church to fellowship, to get to see each other's smiling faces every Sunday and to talk a little bit and stuff. And then the last thing why we go to church, and this is the most important thing, well, not the most, but it's for testimony's sake. What does our neighbor think if they don't see us go to church? Oh, I thought they were a Christian. What does our coworkers think if they see us volunteering to work every Sunday when we don't have to, but we volunteer to do it? Oh, I'll work. I want that double time. I'll be here. You know, what are they going to think? Our testimony is the most important thing next to that gift of salvation that you and I have. Our testimony to our children. What does our children think if they don't see us as parents go to church? I guarantee you they're not going to grow up and go to church. They weren't taught to go to church. They're going to drop out. They may drop out even if you did teach them to go to church. But you know what? They were taught. I like the verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And I've had people come to me and say, well, I claim that verse, but my child's wayward and everything. And I always tell them, yeah, but you know what? Just like it says, you train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart. They're going to know what's right. They know what's right. But they're adults. They make their own decision. But they can't depart from what they were taught and trained to do. The Holy Spirit will prick their hearts and they'll never get away from it. It's important to be that testimony to those that are lost around us, to those that we know. So in conclusion, tonight, let's you and I not be like these two morons and the henpecked husband. Let's serve the Lord. Let's go forth. Let's don't be like these watchmen that don't do nothing. Let's go forth, share the gospel, do all that we can to see the gospel go forth. Every opportunity that we have to rise, do it. And let's encourage those that we know that should be in church that aren't to get back in church. I tell you, it'd be good to see a lot of people start to fluctuate into the church, start coming and get their hearts right and join the church. And then when we start cleaning once a week, when we all take turns to clean, we'll have to start sweeping in between the pews and the back end of the building there, the back rows there and stuff. But you know, that'd be a small sacrifice, wouldn't it, to see people come to church. So you and I tonight, let's do what we can do. Just be faithful to the Lord. Don't ever let your place on the pew be an empty pew. Make sure your place is always filled. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads.